Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating parts of your GCSE English literature course, the 19th century novel. Whether you're studying A Christmas Carol, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Frankenstein, Great Expectations, or Jane Eyre, this episode is packed with everything you need to walk into that exam feeling confident and prepared. Here's what we're covering today. First, we'll look at the big ideas and themes that run across all these novels. Then I'll walk you through exactly what examiners are looking for in Component 2, Section A, including the two-part question format and how to tackle each part. After that, we'll hit the most common mistakes students make and how to avoid them, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. Ready? Let's go. So let's start with the big picture. All of these 19th century novels were written during the Victorian era, roughly 1830 to 1900, a period of enormous change. The Industrial Revolution had transformed Britain, cities were overcrowded and polluted, the gap between the rich and the poor was staggering, science was challenging, religion, and questions about identity, morality, and what it means to be human were everywhere. Your examiners absolutely love it when you connect the text to this context. But here's the key. Context must be woven into your analysis, not bolted on as a separate paragraph. So instead of writing Dickens lived in Victorian times and poverty was bad, you'd write something like, Dickens presents Tiny Tim as a symbol of the suffering poor, reflecting the widespread child poverty that Dickens himself witnessed in Victorian London and campaigned against throughout his life. See the difference? The context is doing analytical work. Now let's look at the major themes. The first is duality and identity, the idea that human beings contain contradictions. This is most explicit in Jekyll and Hyde, where Stevenson literally splits one man into two. Jekyll's famous statement that man is not truly one, but truly two, is one of the most important quotes in the entire GCSE canon. But duality appears in Frankenstein too. Victor and the creature mirror each other, both driven by ambition, both ultimately destroyed by it. The second major theme is social class and inequality. In Great Expectations, Dickens shows us Pip's desperate desire to become a gentleman, and then questions whether that ambition is worth the moral cost. The phrase Great Expectations is itself ironic. Pip's expectations lead him away from genuine goodness and towards shallow snobbery. In A Christmas Carol, Scrooge's transformation is fundamentally about recognizing his moral responsibility to the poor. The ghost of Christmas Present reveals ignorance and want, two children hidden beneath his robe, as a direct critique of Victorian society's indifference to poverty. Third, redemption and transformation. This is the engine that drives A Christmas Carol. Scrooge begins as a man who is described as solitary as an oyster, isolated, cold, miserly. By the end, he is reborn. Dickens uses the structure of the five staves, echoing a piece of music, to create a journey from spiritual death to spiritual life. The number five is significant. It mirrors the five stages of Scrooge's transformation. Fourth, science and ambition. Both Frankenstein and Jekyll and Hyde are deeply concerned with the dangers of unchecked scientific ambition. Shelley's Victor Frankenstein is described as having drunk in forbidden knowledge, the verb drunk suggesting addiction, compulsion, loss of control. Stevenson's Jekyll believes he can separate the good and evil within himself, but his experiment destroys him. Both novels can be read as warnings about playing God, what the Romantics called hubris. Fifth, gender and power. Jane Eyre is particularly rich here. Charlotte Bronte gives Jane a voice that was radical for its time. Jane's declaration, "I am no bird and no net ensnares me," is a direct assertion of female autonomy. A feminist reading of the novel sees Jane's journey as a quest for selfhood in a society that denies women agency. But you can also apply a feminist lens to Frankenstein. Mary Shelley, writing as a young woman in a male-dominated literary world, explores themes of creation and responsibility that were deeply personal. Now let's talk about the two-part question format, because this is crucial. Part one gives you an extract of around 400 words and asks you to analyze the writer's language and methods. Part two is an essay question about the whole text. Together, they're worth 30 marks plus 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. That's 34 marks in total. For part one, your job is close language analysis. Pick out specific words and phrases. Ask yourself, why did the writer choose this word? What does it suggest? What effect does it have on the reader? Use subject terminology, metaphor, pathetic fallacy, semantic field, foreshadowing, but only when it genuinely illuminates the text. Examiners call this purposeful terminology. Don't just name techniques, analyze their effect. For part two, you need to range across the whole text. Show the examiner that you know the novel from beginning to end. Use a minimum of 4 well-chosen quotations. Make sure each paragraph has a clear point, embedded evidence, analysis of language or structure, and a link to context. Right, let's talk about the mistakes that cost students marks, because avoiding these is just as important as knowing the content. Mistake number one, retelling the plot. This is the single most common error if your paragraph starts with, in this part of the novel, Scrooge meets the ghost of Christmas past and they travel back in time. You're summarizing, not analyzing. Every sentence should be doing analytical work. Ask yourself, so what? Why does this matter? What does it reveal? Mistake number two, feature spotting. This is when you identify a technique but don't explain its effect. Stevenson uses a metaphor here, earns you nothing. Stevenson's metaphor of Hyde as a juggernaut, a crushing, unstoppable force, suggests that the repressed self, once unleashed, cannot be controlled, reflecting Victorian anxieties about the dangerous potential lurking beneath respectable society. That earns marks. Mistake number three, bolted on context. Examiners can spot this a mile away. If your last paragraph suddenly starts in the Victorian era without connecting to your argument, you'll lose marks. Context should flow naturally from your analysis. Mistake number four, ignoring the command word. If the question says explore, you need to cover multiple aspects: character, theme, language, structure, with breadth and depth. If it says, how does the writer present, your focus must be on methods. Read the question carefully. Underline the keywords before you start writing. One more tip. Aim for a conceptualized argument. That means your response has a central thesis, a clear, arguable claim that runs through every paragraph. The best responses don't just list points, they build an argument. Think of it like a court case. You're making a case, and every paragraph is a piece of evidence. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question one, what are the 5 staves in A Christmas Carol, and what does each represent? The 5 staves are Marley's ghost, the first of the 3 spirits, the second of the 3 spirits, the last of the spirits, and the end of it. They represent Scrooge's journey from ignorance to redemption. Question two. What is the significance of the framing narrative in Frankenstein? Walton's letters frame Victor's story, which frames the creature's story. This nested structure creates layers of unreliable narration and asks the reader, whose perspective do we trust? Question three. Name 3 key quotes from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and the theme each relates to. Man is not truly one, but truly two. Duality. The large, handsome face of Dr. Jekyll versus Hyde's ape-like fury, appearance versus reality. I have been doomed to such a dreadful shipwreck, destruction through ambition. Question 4. What does the red room in Jane Eyre symbolize? The red room symbolizes Jane's imprisonment, passion, and the rage she must suppress as a woman in Victorian society. It also foreshadows the Gothic elements of Thornfield Hall. Let's bring it all together. The 19th century novels on your GCSE course are rich, complex, and deeply rewarding to study. They all engage with the great questions of the Victorian age. What is our responsibility to others? What happens when ambition overrides morality? What does it mean to be human? And how do we balance the demands of society with our own identity? In your exam, remember, analyze, don't summarize. Embed your quotations, weave in context, use subject terminology purposefully, and always, always answer the question that's actually been asked. You've got this? Keep revising, keep practicing, and remember, every time you write a practice paragraph, you're getting better. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.